Father, bless our children and young people. Bless their leaders too in all they do this morning. Let them know more of your love, your joy, and your grace in their lives this morning, we pray. Would you bless them mightily? And Lord, as we come to your word now, Lord, we just pray that you would just drop simple truths into our hearts that would remind us to live for you in all that we do. Amen. So we're carrying on our series, Original Design, looking at what God intended for humanity. Looking at what the blueprint was of what he expected for us in the beginning and what Christ draws us back to when we become a Christian. Our purpose, our design, what it's about. And so we've looked a bit about creation. We've looked a little bit about kind of how we're called to join in and reflect God's glory and how we're called to trust God in that. Today we're looking a bit about the mission of God, and next week, I encourage you to come as we look at what does it mean to find your purpose in God? How do you work out what your purpose is in Christ? So we've been talking about this idea of trust the Father, receive the Spirit, to tell the story of the Son, focusing at the moment in its original design series on the idea of trust the Father. And if you've been tracking with us in these last few weeks of this series, you'll have heard me say lots of times, if you get nothing out of this series other than this, this is an important truth to get, which is God is good and he loves you. God is good and he loves you. He thinks the world of you. He thought of you. You are his concept and his idea. God is good and he loves you. And what creation is, it's an expression of God's goodness. Every time God creates in Scripture, he says, and it is good. And it is good. And he makes you and he says, it is good. You are good. And that goodness is a reflection of who he is, of his glory. And we looked last week about how when Moses asked God to show him his glory, God says, let me show you my goodness, my mercy, and my love. But every time we read the word glory in Scripture, it's not just some mythical kind of fantastical word. It's trying to describe God is good. God is good. And we looked last week about how in the Psalms it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's saying, when you look at creation, all of us can tell that there's something quite wow about creation. And when you have that wow moment, when you go, wow, it just seems the world is as it should be. That is a moment where you're experiencing the goodness of God being reflected in creation. And all of us are called to reflect who God is into creation. We are his children. And as his children, we are called to do three things. To be in relationship with him, which is to trust. We are called to reign in creation. He gives us stewardship over creation, to name the animals, to tend the garden. He gives us responsibility. And then he also gives us the call to reproduce and be fruitful. And what he's saying to us is, this is my intended pattern and design for your life. That you'd be in relationship with me, that you would rule and reign in creation, and that you would reproduce. Why? Sorry, we'll come back to that in a second. Why? Well, because you are blessed by God at the beginning of creation. Humanity is blessed by God before we are anything is required of us. For anything is required of you, God says, I want to bless your life. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to draw you back into that relationship of trust. That you haven't got to do anything for this. God says, I just want to bless you. And out of blessing us, God wants to bless the whole of creation. That was the intended design. And we've got a free choice whether we join in with that task of blessing the world as we are blessed or not. We said last week that what we are called to do is garden the world. That all that has been given, we have been given for a purpose. And that purpose is to work at God's right hand to fulfill the potential of the world he has made. What we were saying was this, that when you look at Genesis, when you look at the Garden of Eden, it says in the scripture, he plants a garden in the east and he put mankind into the garden. And in my head, all these years, I've gone, the whole world was a beautiful paradise. It doesn't say that. He plants a garden. He plants what it looks like for the kingdom of heaven on earth to reign and rule. with humanity taking its responsibility before God to rule and steward creation. And what he says to Adam and Eve is, from this garden, expand the boundaries of that. Be fruitful and multiply. The garden that you're currently in, extend the boundaries of the garden. Take what you're experiencing and take it out further and further and further and further into the whole of creation until the whole world looks like this garden. See, the original plan wasn't that everything was perfect and we lived with God and it was all just wonderful and lovely. It was we were made to be in relationship with God, to work with God, to create this glory that reflects who God is. We were always called to be in partnership with God from the very beginning, tending the garden, working with him to take the boundaries of Eden out wherever we can. God's plan for blessing the world is through human fruitfulness. And human fruitfulness is human faithfulness is the key to bearing fruit. So if you were here last week, you'll remember us saying about how when we get back into relationship with God, we connect back in trust with God, which means we let go of our control of the world and we go back to God's purpose and plan, his original design. And in doing so, we are able to enter into our inheritance, what we were always called to be, which is people who rule and reign over creation, not to abuse it, but to care for it, to tend the garden, to expand the boundaries of the garden, to make the whole world beautiful, to beautify that which is around us, to see barrenness and say, God can work with that and do something beautiful with that. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. So you have inherited, when you come back into relationship with God through Jesus, you're stepping back into the inheritance that you had at the very beginning, which is you are a child of God in relationship with responsibility, there to be fruitful in the whole of creation, to work with God in beautifying the world, of making it the paradise that it was always intended to be. But you'll never walk into inheritance unless you understand who you are and whose you are. If you're not convinced that God loves you, you'll never walk into the inheritance he has for you in your life because you won't believe you're worth it. You won't believe that actually before you do anything at all, you have an inheritance in who God is, that you are blessed from the very off. I'll try to think of a way of describing this, and this is my best way I can describe as an analogy. It's a bit like we are called to work, to till the ground, to be fruitful and multiply. And it's a bit like God's got a family business. And he says, Pete, you're going to inherit the family business. That because of who you are, because you're my child, you inherit this business that is thriving, that is fruitful, and is amazing. But you've got a choice. You can choose to live in the inheritance that I offer you because of who you are, or you can choose to reject your identity and you can go set up your own business from scratch. And you can work really, really hard trying to get there on your own. And God's going, there's an inheritance right here for you, or you can do it on your own. And we have a choice, whether to live in the inheritance that God has for us, or to struggle on our own. And what happens is when we choose to do it on our own, what we're saying is, I want to control my inheritance. I want to control my outcome. I don't want to live in God's purpose for my life. I want to control the outcome. And therefore we break trust with who God is, and we seek to control. And when we do that, what we see is we put these things up against each other. Where when we seek our own inheritance rather than the inheritance that God has for us out of our identity as children of God, we seek to control the world around us for our own benefit and our own gain. We want things instantly rather than being prepared to put the work in often to get them. We seek gratification rather than fruitfulness. We seek selfishness rather than faithfulness. And we end up with seedless fruit rather than fruit that produces seeds. And we all know this. When we're selfish, it feels good in the moment, but actually, it doesn't bear any fruit. It's like seedless grapes. It's just like, it's good in the moment, but it doesn't have the opportunity to reproduce anything or to bring life or bring love to anything. When we're in relationship with God, suddenly, rather than us trying to take control, God says, you can rest in my, you can trust who I am and trust that I've got it in hand. He says, it might not come immediately, but trust me, in the faithfulness, something beautiful will grow. He's saying, don't just seek your own gratification, but look for fruitfulness that blesses many. Don't be selfish, be faithful and see what I will do with your faithfulness. See how it can bless many other people. Produce fruit that is full of seeds so it reproduces. See, God wants us to partner with him in his purpose and plan. And this basically is the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son says to his dad, in the scriptures, Jesus tells the story, says a father has two sons, and one of them says to his dad, I want all of my inheritance now. I want it instantaneously now. I want you to give me everything that is owed to me. And he goes off and he tries to do all the things that he thinks he needs to do. And in the end, he realizes, actually, do you know what? I need to come back to my dad. And his dad welcomes him back with open arms and says, everything that is mine is still yours. Doesn't matter how far we've run away from God, he still says, everything I have is yours. Even when we've squandered stuff that God's given us in the past, he says, everything I have is still yours. Your inheritance is as a child of God. And because of that, you have the inheritance of the whole world. If only we will trust him with his story and choose to trust and reflect what he is all about. See, we partner with God to see the world flourish. That was the original intent and design, that we would partner with God to see the whole world become like Eden. And when we broke trust, we went our own way and we tried to do it on our own. And all humans have a longing to try and create things, to try and grow things, to try and have more stuff. It's a misappropriation of the longing that God puts in our hearts to see fruitfulness happen in the world. It's part of human DNA to want increase. And you can either apply that through control and want to get more for you, or you can apply it into trusting relationship with God, where actually you want to seek fruitfulness for the whole of creation to flourish. We're called to partner with God in this mission and this journey, to see the whole world flourish. And what Jesus says is, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. He says when you come back into relationship with God, and you recognize that you're a child of God, we looked at that in the first week about how he talks about with Jesus, how you are my child with whom I am well pleased. That is what he says to all of us. When we do that, when we enter back into that relationship, we are called to live the kingdom of heaven, to see it expand on earth. It was the original design from the beginning. And so what Jesus is calling us back to is the original design, and he calls it the kingdom of heaven, which in the Old Testament is just called Eden. It's work with God to create Eden, create the kingdom of heaven. In Joshua 1:3 it says, God says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. And it's easy to hear those words. I'm often using them, don't we, to claim ground for Jesus. That wherever I put my foot, God will be there. It's good. But what it's actually trying to say, God's trying to say to Joshua in that moment, everything I've already given you, therefore, there's no place that you can put your foot where I am not present. There's no way that you can put your foot where I'm not already at work. It's not about you claiming ground. It's about God saying, I've already claimed it. Go and enjoy it. He's saying to Joshua, I've given you this land. It was promised to Moses. There's no place that you can put your foot, Moses, that isn't already promised to you. And so what that means to us as Christians and believers is saying, there's nowhere on this earth that God hasn't already reclaimed through Christ. Everywhere is already our inheritance and our promise as children of God. We've just got to walk into it. You've got to try and claim it in Jesus' name. It's already claimed. It's already bought. It's already paid for at the cross. It's what are you recognizing that actually God's saying, there's nowhere that you can go where I'm not present. Nowhere that you can go where I'm not present. Why is it important? Because it's what the Jewish people had to learn when they were in exile. And in exile, this is in Jeremiah now, the people have been exiled from their nation out into Babylon, and they go, oh, we want to go home. Oh, it's so bad here. Oh, we don't like it. It's really horrible here. And Jeremiah turns around to them and says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters and wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may, I can't see the words on the screen, have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Do you hear the be fruitful and multiply bit in that? Saying, you can go, as exiles, you can say, oh, we're not in the place that God put us. We're not in the beautiful land. We're not in the Eden that we hoped for. What Jeremiah is saying is, even in exile, this belongs to God. So be fruitful and multiply in this place. Have sons and daughters. Let them marry and let them increase in number. Seek the prosperity of the city to which I've called you. What he's saying is, wherever you are right now in your life, God's saying, I'm already there. That ground is already claimed by Jesus at the cross. He's saying, seek the prosperity of where you are right now. Live it out. Don't live going, oh, we'll retreat away from this because it doesn't feel very God-like in this place. It's saying, advance into it and seek the prosperity of what it is you're doing. So it's really easy, isn't it, to go, well, Pete, you're a pastor, so you've got a really Christian job. That's much more worthwhile than something else. And it's not. I'm just living in the ground that God's marked out for me in this moment in time. If you look down on mine, that's just as holy and just as important as anything else. It's not to do with whether your job is more Christian or not. It's to do with the heart that you have in that place, or whether you're being more salt and light in that place or not. There are people in this room who are probably far better reflectors of Jesus in their workplace or their community or their family than I am in this place. No doubt of that. Wherever God has put you, that ground's already been claimed. And what God says to you is, grow in number. Settle down. Make the most of it. Build life upon it as much as you possibly can. Seek to prosper and grow. Multiply. Be fruitful. Still do all the things that you were ever going to do elsewhere. Just keep doing them here. He's saying, extend the kingdom of heaven. Extend Eden in the place where you find yourself. Extend it out. Grow it. Seek the prosperity of the city to which I have called you. He's saying, it might not be where you want to be right now, but still seek the prosperity of it. Because if it prospers, then you prosper. So basically, will you live big wherever God's put you? Will you live for Jesus? Will you live a big life? Will you live a life that is fruitful wherever God has called you to be? Because you know what? It doesn't matter how small your piece of Eden is. It could be your next door neighbor, and that's your bit of Eden that God's calling you to grow and prosper and to nurture those relationships with, to bring, be salt and light and to reflect God's glory. It could be that. It could be a family member that you have been seeking to long to bring to Jesus for a long, long time. That could be the place for you, which is your Eden, that you are tilling the ground. It could be that you're the CEO of a massive multinational corporation. Your Eden's a bit bigger, but it's still your Eden. You're still called to be exactly the same thing. Your purpose and your calling doesn't change. It's exactly the same whether you're doing it in a school, whether you're doing it in a college, whether you're doing it in a workplace, whether you're doing it with your family, whether you're doing it with your next door neighbor, whether you're doing it as a pastor. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all the same. The original design is that we would work in partnership with God to be fruitful and see heaven come to earth. To see the fruitfulness of heaven take place in wherever it is that God's put you. So where's your Eden this morning? We looked at that already. That's what the bits of paper, the little bits of acetate were about. So you probably already have a bit of think about that. But where is your Eden? What's the bit of ground that God's given you this morning that you can say, God, okay, here I am. I want to live big for you in whatever it is that you've given me. I've told this story before, but it's a great story because it's a true story about my friend Laura. She was a young girl of 15, had moved to a new area and hated her school. Absolutely hated it. Couldn't despise it. She had no friends and she absolutely hated it. And one day she came home to her parents and said, I just can't do this anymore. And they said, well, let's pray about it. So they prayed. And after they prayed, she came away and went, I'm not going to choose to go to school for Jesus. I'm going to choose to go to school for Jesus. That's what I'm doing it for now. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for Jesus. That day, she went in and suddenly made a friend. First time in weeks. Starts talking to that friend. She says, oh, so what are you interested in? What do you do? Starts talking about Jesus. Before she knew it, in the space of a few weeks, there's a whole group of them who were talking about Jesus together at school. There's so many of them that she went back to her parents and said, what do I do about all these people, all my friends, who want to know about Jesus? Is there something we can do for them? So they started a youth group out of all these kids. These kids started coming, got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then the parents got interested. The parents got interested in what the kids were doing, and so it became clear very quickly that actually they needed somewhere for the adults to come. And that was the beginning of a brand new church. All because one day, Laura decided, for her, school was going to be her Eden. She was going to go to school and reflect Jesus in what she did. And because of that, things grew and multiplied. Wherever God's put you right now, it might not be where you want to be. And that's hard. The exiles didn't want to be in Babylon. This is a hard thing to hear because I don't like it. But sometimes we are in places and God says, it might not be easy right now, but it doesn't stop you from living for me. It doesn't stop you making this your Eden and growing it and multiplying it and tending it and being fruitful in it, taking responsibility for it to see it transformed. So where's your Eden? Where's your front line? Where's the place for you where this gets real? Doesn't matter how big or small it is, live big. Seek the prosperity of the place where you currently find yourself, knowing that God has already claimed that ground in Christ and that you're not going to claim ground, you're going to walk into the inheritance that you have as a child of God. Wherever you go, wherever you spend most of your time, in that place, it is your inheritance as a child of God. And what you're called to in that place is live your identity of being someone who works in partnership with God to make it fruitful and prosper. To bring life. To bring life. And so this is what mission is about. You see, mission is this. Mission isn't the church doing big activities to try and do stuff so we haven't got it, so we can outsource our mission. Mission, quite simply, is everybody, everywhere, every day. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. It's not for the church to try and build the kingdom of heaven. It's for you and I to inherit our inheritance and live in the promise of that to bring fruitfulness into whatever it is that you have influence over. Wherever it is you spend most of your time, you are God's missionary. You are in partnership with him because it is everybody, everywhere, every day. That's what it's about. We are a people together who are on mission for Jesus. And that's the third part of our vision. Tell the story of the Son. Wherever you are, reflect Jesus. Trust him and shine brightly for him like we talked about last week. Your calling is to live in your inheritance, knowing that God's already claimed it, and you're going into a place and you are choosing to live in the reality and truth of that to make it more beautiful. It might seem really barren. And it might not be the first day you change your mind and go, I'm doing it for Jesus now. Everything changes. So we look back to that story Jesus tells of the growing seed. He plants the seed. Day or night, when he gets up or rests, the farmer waits. And all by itself, the seed grows. And the farmer goes out at the point of harvest. This being faithful in the place that God's put you right now is really hard. It's not easy. Particularly if you're in a place right now where you're going, I don't like where I am. It's really hard. But God says there's still opportunities for there to be fruitfulness in this, no matter how hard it is. Sow the seeds. It might take a little while, but be faithful to see the fruitfulness. And my gosh, if we all do that in our everyday, everywhere, everyone doing it together, man, this community will look different. We partner with God because we are his children and we walk in his inheritance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you bless us first so that we can be a blessing. Lord, wherever we find ourselves today, whether we like it or not, Father God, would you give us the courage to live big lives? Lord, to seek fruitfulness, to seek the prosperity of the place that you've put us, to reflect your glory. Lord, help us see that wherever you have placed us right now, it's an opportunity for us to garden barren lands into beautiful, fruitful places. Lord, thank you, you didn't call us to this on our own, but Lord, you call us to partner with you in this. So Lord, help us together do mission. Everybody, everywhere, every day, seeking to see Eden expanded wherever we find ourselves. Amen.